So now let's look at what are the resources, and from resources to capabilities. What could be the resources? So there could be so many different resources that could go into creating a finished product. They all come in the form of, basically it will be in the form of capital, it could be in the form of raw material, it could be in the form of man, it could be in the form of machinery, it could be in the form of material. What are the capabilities that are there? In capabilities, it would be how skilled the worker is, how unskilled the worker is, how, what type of work needs to be done, what type of production process does the raw material or the resources need to undergo in order to create a finished product. These are specific, and your organization, which makes it difficult for other people to imitate. These could be the places where you can create a differentiation. Resources could be basically tangible in nature, which is where it's physical resources which can be easily touched, felt and seen, or it could be intangible in terms of like services, and of course they could also be human in nature. Looking at each one of these resources and the capabilities involved, so when we said basically resources could form under three categories: tangible, intangible and human resources. Tangible resources is something physical that you can see, you can touch, you can experience, such as basically using and operating a particular type of machinery, such as participation in a particular workshop. Or it could be intangible, which cannot be seen, as like your reputation, the work culture of an organization, the know-how, the technology, the intellectual property. Or it could be human resources, that is the manpower or the people who work, you work with, as well as their skills, their knowledge and their attitude. When it comes specifically to human resources, it is but obvious that organizations need to have the right type of people. Therefore, it is necessary to evaluate the right person for the right job to ensure that you have the proper fit. Okay? By considering certain aspects, you can make an assessment of the human resources involved. The job role. What does this job necessarily need to do? What are the various things that this person needs to execute? What would be that this person needs to do in order to create the necessary output? What is the purpose of this job? Why does this job exist? Okay. If this job were not to, then in that case, what would happen? What are some of the essential functions that need to be done by this particular person who is occupying this particular job? What job qualifications does that person need to possess so that he will be able to execute the job role as well as the essential job functions? And in the overall game plan, what is the context of that particular job? How does that job contribute in order to create the final product? So now let's look at each one of them a little more specifically. In terms of job role, in order to produce what needs to be produced as a product or a services, what are some of the tasks that are required? So then breaking the whole job into small tasks, and then also evaluating whether the person is capable of doing that task, and if need be, whatever training needs to be provided in order to ensure that the person is able to produce the necessary products and services. What are the tasks required to sell the product or the services? So once the product is created, then what does the sales team need to do in order to ensure that this product is then taken to the marketplace and customers are sourced in order to buy that particular product? What tasks are reduced to support the production and the sales staff? So you have the production people. Now for production people to be supported, they need to have a place, they need to have plant and machinery, they need to have raw material. And then once they have created a finished good, it goes to the sales staff, and the sales staff need to have a place to operate from, they need to have transportation, they need to have the necessary collaterals by which they can communicate with the marketplace, they need to have certain functions like advertising, public relation, which happens so that the customers are basically touched upon, the messages are passed to the customers, and they need to then go to the marketplace and interact with the various customers so that they can convince them to part with their money in for the particular product that is being offered. Which of these tasks need to be done in-house and which of them need to be sublet or probably outsourced? These are some of the things that we need to take into consideration while creating the job role. Under human resources, another aspect that one needs to take care of is basically the purpose of the job. How does this basically successfully contribute to the successful production of the product? Okay. How does it contribute to the successful sale of the product? Okay. So it is basically what contribution does this job do, which actually creates the purpose of the job. How does it contribute to achieving the organization's goals and objectives? It's very important to know the purpose of the job, because every job comes at a cost. And if there is no reason for that job to exist, then of course there is no purpose for that job. And if that would be an additional cost that is involved. So in order to avoid such ungainful expenditure, it is important that we understand the purpose of the job and ensure that every job has a purpose, and hence it contributes towards the output. Another aspect of human resources is the essential functions. What are the key tasks that actually form that particular job? How essential are they and how important are they? If they are not essential, then they can be eradicated. If they are not important, their importance to that can be reduced. How are they related to each other? How do they contribute in the flow of things? Are they sequential in nature? How much time do you need to spend on each task? How should the sequencing happen so that you are able to optimally use the resources that are available? What physical activities need to be performed for the task to be completed? Can the activities be shared among a group of people, or should it be retained with a singular person? What happens if the job does not get completed? These are some of the things that one needs to look at and try to derive how essential these functions are. Under human resources, you also have job qualification. What are the formal qualifications that are required? For any work that is engineering, you definitely need somebody who is formally qualified as an engineer. Is it necessary that a person needs to have an engineering qualification? Does technical qualification of other form also do? Or will experience substitute for having formal qualification? Is there any domain specific or special knowledge that is required? Now, maybe you have a fitter, but there may be certain aspects about fitting which is very special, and some special knowledge is required by that fitter. Now, suppose it is welding. You may probably need somebody who knows spot welding for the completion of that particular specific job. So, while many people may probably be welders, some people may be specifically qualified, or they may possess specific knowledge when it comes to spot welding. What are the skills required by that particular person? A lot of people know how to speak, but when it comes to sales, there is only articulation skills is not sufficient. There are certain skills which are more than articulation that one needs in order to be able to sell a particular product. What type of training is required? How can we make these people capable in order to execute their task? Do they need classroom training? Do they need on-the-job training? Do they need coaching? Do they need basically any other form of specific training that is required in order for them to be able to execute their job? What type of previous experience is essential, or is it required? Is it something that somebody who has not done this before cannot do it? Is it something that can be learnt before without having the necessary experience? Or is it necessary that the person has the specific experience, and only then will it be possible for that person to execute that job? The last aspect of human resources is the job context. Okay? What are the essential tasks that need to be done? How is the work organized? Is there a particular flow that needs to be maintained? Is there a particular sequencing that is required? Under what physical conditions can certain things be done? Like if you are looking at a specification where you have a cold storage, then in that case, that particular place or whatever material is stored in that place needs to be maintained at a particular temperature. So what physical conditions need to be there? What type of space is required? So if you are making something that is large in nature, then you need to have a physically large space where you can fit the necessary equipment. People can move around, as well as the various raw material, as well as the finished product. What type of social conditions are required? Now, for people to go out in the marketplace and sell the product, there are certain social conditions that are, suppose you have a riot in such sort of a situation, your sales force cannot probably go out into the marketplace. Or now recently that we went through the COVID-19 situation. If basically there is a lockdown or there is a containment that is happening. This is not conducive for salespeople to go out because they will not be received by the sales, by the customers, and hence will not be able to complete their task. How we measure this particular job? How will it be monitored to see? Because what gets monitored is what gets done. What gets measured is what gets done. So what are the quantification? How do we monitor? How do we measure that particular job? And how do we supervise? Who ensures that the job gets done? And if there be a need, more resources need to be made available, or more training needs to be made available, then in that case, who takes the decision regarding these aspects is basically what creates what is called the job context. Here we're going to look at tangible resources, which are basically physical, which can be seen, felt, observed, and look at know-how. There is some sort of a link between know-how and tangible resources, but they can be very difficult to resolve. Resources are all interrelated. Human resources, the machines that are required, the equipment that is required, the location from where it would be probably worked on, the reputation of the organization, the quality of the raw material, the quality of the material, and the know-how all link together to create an output. Bringing all this together at one place and being able to work on it in such a way, using the know-how and creating the output, is what creates success in business. Further developing the relationship between tangible resources and know-how, it may be noted that realignment of tangible resources could be a source of innovation and can provide a competitive advantage to any organization. So if you are able to do away with certain steps in the sequencing that happens, automatically it will reduce the cost. If you are able to do away with certain raw material that is required in order to create a particular finished product, you will be able to do away with a certain amount of cost. And that would be a differentiation in the marketplace. Of recently, technology has become very essential part of disruptive innovation. Tech companies are able to disrupt the entire market using technology to meet unmet demands. One of them is Ola and Uber, right? Earlier, there used to be other forms of transportation, which also included private taxis. But yet, to be able to have a radio cab, which can be easily booked on your phone, has disrupted the market. And today, you have the old people, the old cabs, complaining about the existence of Ola and Uber. Basically an unmet need where I basically don't need to own a car, but yet I have all the benefits of having a car of my own, is something that Ola and Uber were able to create. The disruption comes through a lower price point and by dispensing with unnecessary levels of service. So what they managed to do was basically that made the travel cheaper, the cost of ownership of a car was reduced, and hence they were able to dispense with the unnecessary levels of service. At the same time, they were able to make it available at a very cost-effective manner. Building further the relationship between tangible resources and know-how, basically disruptive innovation. Mobile banking is one of an example. Today, you do not need to visit a branch in order to do your banking. Neither does the branch need to, or the bank people need to come to you. All that is available through your mobile or through the internet. Smaller companies with fewer resources can successfully challenge an established large player in the marketplace, right? So one of WhatsApp is one such. We have only 50 people who work in the company called WhatsApp, yet they are able to process and ensure that millions of transactions of messages are sent to one another. This is basically done through offering alternatives at a very low cost, at almost at no cost, because WhatsApp is today conducted at no cost and to a large, broad customer base. So hence, this can be basically a great alternative. This draws new customers into the marketplace and it creates people who otherwise would not have been contemplated as being an ideal customer for that particular product or service. Further developing tangible resources and know-how, this whole concept of disruption can be extended to differentiate between demand-led disruption and supply-led disruption. Demand-led disruption is where new features or functions are provided and make the customer change what they were looking for in a particular product. So you make it cheaper or it becomes more efficient. Earlier, we were all using SMSs in order to communicate with one another. Suddenly, there came WhatsApp. Now WhatsApp, you can also send pictures, you can also attach certain files and send them in terms of PDF, in terms of PNG, instead of JPEG, while SMS did not allow you to do all that. So that's basically demand legends. When radical different approach or a new technology offers the opportunity to change how things are done, then you can look at what is called supply side disruption. So now the next step is mapping your capabilities. The processes involved and the sequences of various actions that enable transformation to happen. It could probably be organizational structure, it could be effective manner in which it is coordinated, often including co-location as well as sharing. It could be probably the motivation of the people who are involved, whether people are able to effective in realizing the potential of the resources. It could be in terms of alignment, whether all the things are coming together to ensure a good fit for the wants and needs of the customer. How do we ensure sustainability and how do we ensure that we are making a difference? As competitive advantage will erode over time and there will be other companies which will also be able to create what we thought is our competitive advantage, there is a useful set of things that you need to ask yourself, and that comes under an acronym called VIRO. These are capabilities and resources that you need to assess to be able to create so that you are sustainable and you are able to make a difference. First, valuable. How valuable is it to the enterprise? Second, inimitable. It is difficult to imitate. It is rare, whereby it's hard to acquire. And finally, organizational. Organized in such a way that your organization can take advantage of them. So in order to be successful, some key success factors are questions that you need to ask. These questions could be those of questions about the customer, or it could be questions about the competition. In terms of questions about customer, you need to understand who are they and what do they want. Questions regarding competition are, who are the competitors? What are the main dimensions that they bring in terms of competition? What drives it and what is the intensity, the level of intensity of the competition? When we address these key successful factors, we are able to create a differentiation in the marketplace, which will ensure that our product or our service or our offering stands out specifically and attracts the customer's attention and their willingness to try us out and pay for the product or service that we offer. So in this session, we basically saw how we align the various resources in order to ensure that we are able to take what we have created as a business idea to a business in the marketplace. Thank you.